You know, when we read the Bible, there's a lot of questions in it. There are many questions in this life, of course. Shakespeare said, to be or not to be, that is the question. President Kennedy made a statement, ask not what your country can do for you, but what can you do for your country? We want to consider some great questions from the Bible. And we start with the one that David just read, Genesis 3 and verse 9. Then the Lord God called to the man and said to him, where are you? Adam was lost, but didn't know it. Not that God was ignorant of his hiding place. If you kindly turn your Bibles to Hebrews 4. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. And it reads thus. For the word of God is living and active, and sharper than any two-edged sword, in piercing as far as the division of the soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. But why he asked that question was to bring him to a confession of his sins. Adam said that he had hidden himself through fear of his nakedness, and he sought to hide the sin behind its consequences. His disobedience behind the feeling of shame. To awaken Adam to his disobedience, God said in verse 11, he said, who told you that you were naked? And then we have another one found in Genesis 16:13. It's Hagar. And that was Sarah's handmaid, if you remember. This is what it says in Genesis 16 and verse 13. Then she called the name of the Lord who spoke to her. Thou art a God who sees. For she said, I have even remained alive after seeing him. God knows all of man's doings. In Proverbs 5 and verse 21. Proverbs 5 and in verse 21. For the ways of a man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he watches all his paths. Everything we do and say, God is aware of that. And then we can turn to the Reubenites and the Gittites. Remember, they lived on the east side of the River Jordan. And here's what it said here. Numbers 32, and we're going to look at verse 23. And this is Moses talking to them. But if you will not do so, behold, you have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sins will find you out. Remember, they were on the east side of the River Jordan, and they wanted to make sure that they'd come back and go in the south of the west and help them win the battles over there. And that's what Moses was making clear to them before they left. And in Psalms 139, this is a Psalm of David, of course. And we're going to start with verse 7, and we're going to go through verse 12. Psalms 139, 7. Where can I go from thy spirit, or where can I flee from thy presence? If I ascend to heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the dawn, if I dwell in the remote parts of the sea, and Jonah's a case of that point, isn't he? Even there my hand will lead me, and thy right hand will lay hold of me. If I say, surely the darkness will overwhelm me, and the light around me will be night. Even the darkest is not dark to thee, and the night is as bright as the day. Darkness and light are like to thee. And then, and let's take another question given from Genesis also, this time in Genesis chapter 4. And we're going to look at verse 9. And this is where Cain says, am I my brother's keeper? Then the Lord said to Cain, where is Abel, your brother? And he said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? Cain responded to God Almighty, as he would another mortal man. His statement flies in the face of God himself, as if he had asked him an impertinent question that he was no way obligated to answer that. One sin leads to another, and we can see that through the Bible. Sin always is at a progression. It gets worse as it goes on. Justification. A criminal, when accused, commonly tries to evade the consequences of his guilt by denial. And boy, when I work Department of Corrections, I can tell you that's true. The inspired word emphatically revolves this question. Romans chapter 14, and this is, of course, talking about food. But Romans 14 and verse 7. For not one of us lives for himself, and not one of us dies for himself. For if because of food your brother is hurt, you are no longer walking according to love. Do not destroy with your food him whom Christ died for. And sometimes we don't understand that. When there's somebody lost, remember that soul Christ died for, just like he died for you. And we must keep love in our heart always for them. We are not only keepers of our brethren, but we are helpers to get them out of sin. Look at Romans 15. Romans chapter 15, and we're going to look at verses 1 through 3. Now we who are strong ought to bear the weaknesses of those without strength, and not just please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, to his edification, for even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproach thee fell upon me. If a man shall die, shall he live again? That's a good question, isn't it? And look at Job 14:14. Job 14:14. That question wasn't not answered then, but is now in John 5:28 and 29. Do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming in which all who are in the tombs shall hear his voice. And he shall come forth, those who did good deeds, to the resurrection of life, and those who committed the evil deeds, to the resurrection of judgment. We have hope now. In 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 19. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 19. If we have hope in Christ, in this life only, we are of all men most pitied. Now look at 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and we're going to go verse 13 and 14. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brethren. Now I always want to put ignorant in there. But of those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as do the rest who have no hope. Brethren, we have hope in Christ. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. But notice where it is, in Jesus. Yes, the dead shall live again. And as I was discussing with Evan before we gathered together, people tell me my computer can't do things. Let me tell you, it's got a mind of its own. I'm going to read you what my computer wrote, and then I'm going to read you what the scriptures say. Matthew 16 and verse 26. Matthew 16 and verse 26. For what is a man profited if pricked with a needle shall gain the whole world? When I proofread that, I went back and I says, that ain't what it says. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? There's a question. What is there possibly in this world that you'd give your soul for? But yet Satan tries you and tempts you each and every day of your life. This question is answered by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in Matthew, the fourth chapter. Matthew, the fourth chapter. We're going to look at verses 8 through 10. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain. This is Jesus when he was being tempted by Satan. And showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these things will I give you if you fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, begone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only. And this morning in the Bible class, we talked about the Bereans and how they went to the scriptures to search everything that Paul and Silas was teaching them to see if it was so. But another question, who then can be saved? In Matthew 19:25, we have the answer. And when the disciples heard this, they were very astonished and said, then who can be saved? Easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. Let's read that. It's in verse 23 and 24. And Jesus said to his disciples, truly I say to you, it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And again I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. I'm an old man, and I've heard so many explanations about this. About how they had to take everything off the camel, and it was a small camel, and there's this little hole. I think they're missing the point. I think it's a hyperbole. And look, if we really look at it, in Matthew 19, 20 and 21, the young man said to him, all these things I have kept. What am I still lacking? Remember, he said, I've done this, I've done that. And he really wants to know what he's lacking. And Jesus said to him, if you wish to be complete, go and sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me. Thus, his love of his riches would not allow him to be totally committed to Christ. And Luke 14, 28 and 30. Count the cost. It's hard, not impossible for a rich man to enter in. Why is this? Because wealth means power. And power is for more likely to produce pride and then to create a humble spirit. Any that believe and obey the teachings of Christ can and will be saved. Look at Mark 16 and 16. Mark 16 and 16. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned. And then we turn to the conversion in Acts 2 and verse 38. And Peter said unto them, repent, and let each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then again in Acts 8:22. Acts 8:22. Therefore repent of this wickedness of yours, and pray the Lord, if it possible, the intentions of your heart may be forgiven you. Remember, this was Simon the sorcerer. He was a member. He was baptized already. But he seen the gifts the apostles had, and he wanted them. He was willing to pay for them. The wrong attitude. Let's turn our attention to 1 Timothy 6 and 17. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 17. Instruct those who are rich in this present world not to be conceited or to fix their hope on the uncertainty of riches, but on God who richly supplies us with all things to enjoy. That tells us that rich man can go to heaven. They just got to put Christ first. Sins can be forgiven. Turn your Bibles now way over to 1 John. 1 John chapter 1, and we're going to read verse 9. 1 John 1 and 9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then flip all the way back to Acts. Acts 22 and verse 16. And this is Paul's conversion. He's reliving it. And now, why do you delay? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on His name. Let's look at another question. Look, Lord, to whom shall we go? In John 6, 68. Of course, this is Peter talking. We'll pick it up at John 6, 68. Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Unless we are willing to accept Jesus, submit to the word of God, we will be forever without salvation. And let's turn back to Acts now. Acts, the fourth chapter. And in verse 12, Acts 4:12. And there is salvation and no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given to men by which we must be saved. Eternal life is to be found in Christ Jesus. In 1 John 5, and we're going to look at verses 11 and 12. And the witness is this, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He who has the Son has the life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. Only those whose names are written in the book of life will have life. Look at Revelation. Revelation 20. And we're going to look at verse 15. Revelation 20 in verse 15. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. Why not turn to the Savior and be saved? Another question, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Turn with me to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 2, and we're going to look at verse 3. Hebrews 2 and 3. You know, preface this, a man cannot be saved by doing nothing, but he can be lost that way. Let's turn to John 8, 21, 24. Turn to John 8, 21, 24. He said again to them, I go away, and this is Jesus talking, you shall seek me, and you shall die in your sins. Where I am going, you cannot come. I said therefore to you that you shall die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am He, you shall die in your sins. Now is the time. Look at what Paul wrote to the Corinthians in the 2 Corinthians, chapter 6 and in verse 2. Chapter 6 and in verse 2. For he says, at the acceptable time I listened to you, and on the day of salvation I helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. God has not promised to save you from your past sins unless you accept Him on the day of salvation today. What shall the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? It's a good question. What shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? In 1 Peter 4:17. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 17. For it is a time for judgment to begin with the household of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God? The answer is given in 2 Thessalonians 1 and 7. 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 7. And to give relief to you who are afflicted, and to us as well, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, dealing out retribution to those who do not know God, and those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And these will pay the penalty of eternal destruction, away from the presence of our Lord, and from the glory of his power. And then again in 1 Peter 4 and verse 18. 1 Peter 4 and verse 18. And if it is with difficulty that the righteous is saved, what will become of the ungodless man and the sinner? Good question, isn't it? We know the answer. Jesus is the author of salvation to those who obey. In Hebrews 5 and verse 9. Hebrews 5 and in verse 9. And having been made perfect, he became to all those who obey him the source of eternal salvation. Another good question. Who shall be able to stand? Again, let's go to the book of Revelation. And in chapter 6 and in verse 17. Revelation 6 and 17. For the great day of their wrath has come, and who is able to stand? Good question for all of us to prayerfully consider. Understanding is necessary in Matthew 13:13. Matthew 13:13, it says, therefore I speak to them in parables, because while seeing, they do not see, and while hearing, they do not hear, nor do they understand. That which God has against us must be understood and repented of. In Revelation 2 and 20. But I have this against you, that you tolerate the woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, and she teaches and leads my bondservants astray, so that they commit acts of immorality and eat things sacrificed to idols. Those who do so will have the right to the tree of life. In other words, those who are washed their robes. Look at Revelation 22 and 14. Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter by the gates into the city. We discussed the Bereans today in the class, and that's what we need to do, is continue to go back to the Word of God to see if those things being taught are those things being taught in accordance with the Scripture. The last question I have, and now why tarriest thou? Acts 22:16. And now why do you delay? Arise and be baptized, and wash away your sins, calling on his name. After thinking over these various questions, certainly any person wants to escape the fate of the wicked. Paul was praying, believing, penitent sinner to whom the question was asked. He was told to arise and be baptized and wash away his sins, and he did. Then he continued in faith and obedience. Look at 1 Corinthians 9 and 27. 1 Corinthians 9 and 27. But I buffet my body and make it my slave, lest possibly, after I have preached to others, I myself should be disqualified. Lastly, we need to take note of how serious this matter is. Look at verse 26 of 1 Corinthians 9. Therefore I run in such a way as not without aim. I box in such a way as not beating the air. He had a purpose. The one who will reach the prize of his high calling in Philippians 3 and verse 14. I press on toward the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. must subject himself to God's will and continue faithfully. We find that in Revelation 2:10. Do not fear what you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to cast some of you into prison, that you may be tested. You will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I will give you a crown of life. Galen has gone over that several times, telling you, be faithful even if it causes your death. And we have an example of that. Other than Christ, we have Stephen. My granddaughter gave me this a long time ago. It's on my refrigerator because it's one of my favorite scriptures, and the girl that's sitting in the back of the auditorium knows it because she had it written down in one of her flashcards, because every time I seen her, I'd ask it. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. If we just remember that, and I try to read that every day more than once, to remember that what we do here on this earth for the Lord is not in vain. I hope the lesson has brought to you, and it's nothing new, so it had only brought to your memory those things which we have studied and studied. But that's what Peter said one time. I have no problem reminding you of what we taught. It's to keep our things, thoughts fresh in our mind and our path on the straight and narrow way. I would also like to thank Edward and Dylan this morning. The song leaders here are outstanding. They pick songs that are pertinent to the lesson and to reinforce it and then also to encourage us. If there's anyone in the auditorium that is subject to God's invitation, we would kindly entreat you to come forward as we stand and sing the invitation song.